Chapter 12. Council of War. There was a great rush of feet across the deck. I could hear people tumbling up from the cabin, and slipping in an instant outside my barrel, I dived behind the foresail, made a double towards the stern, and came out upon the open deck in time to join Hunter and Dr. Livesey in the rush for the weather bow. There all hands were already congregated. A belt of fog had lifted almost simultaneously with the appearance of the moon. Away to the southwest of us we saw two low hills, about a couple of miles apart, and rising behind one of them a third and higher hill, whose peak was still buried in the fog. All three seemed sharp and conical in figure. So much I saw almost in a dream, for I had not yet recovered from my horrid fear of a minute or two before. And then I heard the voice of Captain Smollett issuing orders. The Hispaniola was laid a couple of points nearer the wind, and now sailed a course that would just clear the island on the east. "And now, men," said the captain, when all was sheeted home, "has any one of you ever seen that land ahead?" "I have, sir," said Silver. "I've watered there with a trader I was cook in." "The anchorage is on the south, behind an inlet, I fancy," asked the captain. "Yes, sir. Skeleton Island, they call it. It were a main place for pirates once, and a hand we had on board knew all their names for it. That main hill they call the Spyglass. By reason of a lookout they kept there." "I have a chart here," said Captain Smollett. "See if that's the place." Long John's eyes burned in his head as he took the chart, but by the fresh look of the paper, I knew he was doomed to disappointment. This was not the map we found in Billy Bones's chest, but an accurate copy, complete in all things, names and heights and soundings, with the single exception of the red crosses and the written notes. Sharp as must have been this annoyance, Silver had the strength of mind to hide it. "Yes, sir," said he, "this is the spot, to be sure, and very prettily drawed out. Who might have done that, I wonder? The pirates were too ignorant, I reckon." "Ay, here it is, Captain Kidd's anchorage. Just the name my shipmate called it. There's a strong current runs along the south, and then the way northward up the west coast." "Right you were," said he, "to haul your wind and keep the weather of the island. Leastways, if such was your intention as to enter, and there ain't no better place for that in these waters." "Thank you, my man," says Captain Smollett. "I'll ask you later on to give us a help. You may go." I was surprised at the coolness with which John avowed his knowledge of the island, and I own I was half frightened when I saw him drawing nearer to myself. He did not know, to be sure, that I had overheard his counsel from the apple barrel, and yet I had by this time taken such a horror of his cruelty, duplicity, and power that I could scarce conceal a shudder when he laid his hand upon my arm. "Ah," says he, "this here is a sweet spot, this island. A sweet spot for a lad to get ashore on. You'll bathe and you'll climb trees. Why, it makes me young again. I was going to forget my timber leg, I was. It's a pleasant thing to be young and have 10 toes. When you want to go a bit of exploring, you just ask old John, and he'll put up a snack for you to take along." And clapping me in the friendliest way upon the shoulder, he hobbled off forward and went below. Captain Smollett, the squire, and Dr. Livesey were talking together on the quarter-deck, and anxious as I was to tell them my story, I didn't dare interrupt them openly. While I was still casting about in my thoughts to find some probable excuse, Dr. Livesey called me to his side. He had left his pipe below, and, being a slave to tobacco, had meant that I should fetch it, but as soon as I was near enough to speak and not be overheard, I broke out immediately. "Doctor, let me speak. Get the captain and squire down to the cabin, and then make some pretense to send for me. I have terrible news." The doctor changed countenance a little, but the next moment he was master of himself. "Thank you, Jim," said he, quite loudly. "That was all I wanted to know," as if he had asked me a question.